Wonderful words of life. Well, turn in your wonderful word for life to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Well, William and David Cruzy will be leaving on Thursday. They're taking a job in Alaska. It's been fun watching you guys grow up. I gave them a nickname as they were growing up. I called them Thunder and Lightning. And if you'd been here when they were growing up, you'd understand why I called them Thunder and Lightning. So the Lord bless you as you go. We're going to be looking at verses 18 through the end of the chapter. I'm not going to read that to begin with, but you'll want to keep your Bibles open because I'll be referring to several verses from this portion of Scripture as we continue in the message. We've seen in our previous study that the church at Corinth was a troubled church, a divided church. They were divided because they were unduly praising the messengers, as you see in verse 12. Some of them thought Paul was great, others Apollos or Peter. The preachers, they were not seeking glory for themselves. It was the people who were choosing their favorites. Now, it isn't wrong to have have a favorite preacher or teacher. However, there should not be any belittling of other preachers if they're teaching the Word of God. So unduly praising the messengers. Another thing that was causing division was unwisely perverting the message. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. So let's bow in prayer. Spend just a moment in private, silent prayer, as we each ask the Lord to speak to our hearts through His Word. Now, Lord, as we look to Your Word, would You give us listening ears and an understanding mind and a willing heart to receive what You have for us. And may You be honored and glorified. And through the preaching of Your Word, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Unfortunately, there are many today who claim to be the ministers of God who are unwisely perverting the message of God. Some deny the inspiration of Scripture. They place it on the same level that any writings of man. Same level. Well, Peter tells us that the book that you hold this morning is greater than any book ever written by man. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll look at 19 through 21. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, unto which you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. No individual wrote that on their own. That's what it's saying. For the prophecy came not at any time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And that's what we believe. We not only believe that this book is inspired by God, we look at the preservation of this book so that we can hold it this morning and allow God to speak to our hearts. Some, you know, doubt the authority of God's Word. Do you remember who it was who said, "Hath God said?" Now you remember, that was Satan himself as he was tempting Eve. Remember, God told Adam and Eve, "You can eat of any fruit here in the garden except of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat that, you're going to die." And then we have what I call the knot in the devil's tail. You know what it was? It's when Satan said, "You shall not surely die." And as a result of her sin, Adam sinned. And so we have that heritage. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Richard Grubbs has said, "The key to the recognition of the false is the knowledge of the truth." Praise God that through the years, from this pulpit, has been taught the truth of God's Word. And may God help us to keep this pulpit true to the Word of God. And every station that teaches the Bible here at Mesa Hills Bible Church teaches the truth of God's Word. And so we are a blessed people. Well, the message was being perverted by stressing the wisdom of the world. Now, James points out that there's two types of wisdom. Turn to the book of James in chapter 3. James chapter 3. In chapter 3 and verse 15, he talks about wisdom that descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonical. That's one type of wisdom, the wisdom of the world. And then in verse 17, he writes, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." Two types of wisdom. Now we know all true wisdom, whether it be scientific wisdom, ethical wisdom, religious wisdom, any type of wisdom, all true wisdom is from God. Paul here, in this portion of Scripture, is refuting the wisdom of the world. And some false teachers at Corinth were perverting the message by stressing this wisdom of the world. In verse 18, we see that the preaching of the cross is foolishness. To them that perish, it's foolishness. But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. Well, the preaching of the cross was a stumbling block to the Jews. Notice verse 23. "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block." Now, we can understand that when we consider the Jews were looking for a Messiah who would free them from the bondage of Rome and set up his earthly kingdom. The fact that the message of Christ crucified would be foolishness and a stumbling block to the Jews was prophesied by Isaiah. And Paul quotes Isaiah in verses 19 to 20. "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" Those who are perishing consider the word foolishness. But God considers those who deny the word of God as being fools. Well, it's still a stumbling block, even today, to our Jewish friends. I can remember it back when I was in high school. Yeah, I remember that better than I remember what happened yesterday, as a matter of fact. When I was a senior, I was in a class, I forget what it was called, something about the social culture of the day. And they invited various speakers to come and speak, and I wasn't a believer at the time. But a Jewish rabbi came to talk to the class. And some student asked him why is it that you do not believe in Jesus? And I still remember his answer. He said, well, we believe that when our Messiah comes, he will be the Prince of Peace. And when Jesus came, he did not bring peace. That's true. But what he did not understand is there are two comings of the Lord as taught in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. His first coming was as the Lamb of God to pay the penalty for our sin. The second coming, he will come as a Lion of Judah to set up his earthly kingdom here and rule for 1,000 years. Well, not only was the preaching of the cross a stumbling block to the Jews, but also in verse 23, we see it was foolishness to the Gentiles. You see, their philosophy was based on human wisdom and religious idolatry. You remember when Paul was in Athens, chapter 17 of Acts? He went out to Mars Hill, where the philosophers met, and they argued over philosophy, the Stoics, the Epicureans, thinking that they were so wise, always looking for something new. The scripture says he saw that the whole city was in idolatry. And you remember he tried to reason with these philosophers, but for the most part, it was futile. Oh, some wanted to hear more. Paul went from Athens to Corinth. Turn to chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2, and you'll see what he had in mind. There he was trying to argue with the wisdom of the world. And so he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." He had had enough of trying to persuade individuals who took pride in their human wisdom. Well, not only was the message of the cross foolishness to those who are perishing, they considered the messengers as foolish as the message, and they still do today. You talk about the Bible being relevant. You read this and it's like reading the religious section of any newspaper or any magazine today. Man has not changed. Well, we read in verse 21 that after in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, it was not foolish preaching that saved them. I've heard some foolish preaching on the radio and on television. No, as the NIV states it, it was the foolishness of the message preached. And so he uses the message that we have before us as a means of leading people and instructing them on the way to find God and to be saved. Well, Paul declared there in verse 23, "We preach Christ crucified." And that's what we preach here. Every Sunday, one way or another, you're going to hear that message. That Christ was crucified to pay the penalty for our sin. Someone has said Paul was not a sign-believing Jew or a wisdom-believing Gentile. He was a loving-believing of the Savior, a Christian. And so are we today. We are loving believers of our blessed Savior. Well, God has set aside the efforts of mankind to save themselves, and he presents Christ on the cross as the only way to himself. Fundamental verse of Scripture, as far as I'm concerned in this day where we stress missions, is John 14:6, where Jesus declared that he was the only way, that he was not a truth, he was the truth, and the only way to the Father. And that's what we preach, and that's what we believe, and that's why we have the mission program that we have today to get the word out that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. Oh, we're criticized by that. People think that we are very proud of ourselves. We're not proud of ourselves. Our pride, as we shall see, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we glorify Him for this message. But as far as God is concerned, there are only two classes of people. And we see them here in this portion of Scripture. Those who are perishing for a lack of the saving knowledge of Christ are just rebellion against God. And those who are saved, we read, by the very power of God. Notice in verse 24, "But unto them who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." That's our salvation. And so we praise the Lord for the opportunity to open His Word and be assured that we have eternal life, not through human wisdom, but through the wisdom and the power of God. Well, we see the worthlessness of the wisdom of the world once again in verse 19. "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Spiritually, the wisdom of this world has no value here in time when it comes to this matter of Christianity and the message that we have as Christians. And the wisdom of the world will be destroyed in the future. One thing you will not find in heaven is the wisdom of the world. We won't have to put up with that any longer. And of course, where does the wisdom of the world classify us? As a bunch of lame brains? Of having no intelligence? Of believing this story, this myth, as they say? That's the wisdom of the world. But once again, we're saved by the wisdom of God. And praise the Lord, He has given unto us understanding. If you are continually being filled with the Spirit of God, then you are going to have understanding of the Scripture. It may take a while. You know, as newborn babes, what are we to desire? The milk of the Word. The ABCs, if you please. And you know what? We never get away from the ABCs, from the milk of the Word. But we have to grow and get into the meat of the Word. I'm glad that Paul wrote about his experience and what was taking place in Corinth. You know why? Because it tells us how to resolve the differences that we have and to warn us against being a divided church by unduly praising the messengers and unwisely perverting the message. Well, worldly wisdom is profitless because, first of all, it leaves God out of the picture. Verse 21, we read, "The world by wisdom knew not God." Isn't that the case today? Well, there are many people who are religious. I can remember Charles Woodbridge. He was a great preacher of the Word of God. He was raised on the mission field in China. His folks were missionaries. They didn't have any toys to play with, so they had to make up their games. And he and his buddy decided they were going to get to heaven. And they devised this method. He was going to get on his buddy's shoulders. Set on his shoulders, he would reach down and pull his buddy up to set on his shoulders. Well, you know what happened. That theory come crashing down. But there are so many theories today, so many cults that are teaching the wisdom of the world, human wisdom, rather than relying solely upon the wisdom of God. But that doesn't surprise us because nothing in the presentation of the gospel as it's taught in the Word appeals to those who take pride in their earthly and human wisdom. Human wisdom asserts that you can earn your salvation by good works, or you merit your salvation because of your personal righteousness. Well, we all know about our personal righteousness, do we not? How God sees it as nothing but filthy rags in His sight. Well, the brilliance of man cannot know or appreciate the Word of God or the plan of God. And so, worldly wisdom is profitless because it leaves God out of the picture and then it forsakes the cross. People today want a crossless Christianity. They don't like to hear about the cross. And even worldly wisdom may accept the historical Jesus. I mean by that, they may say, well, he was a wonderful teacher. He was a great moral example to us. But if that's all he was, then he was a false teacher. And he was a liar. Because he claimed to be more than just a great teacher. He claimed to be more than just a good moral example. He claimed to be a very God. The fullness of God bodily dwelt in our Lord Jesus. And once again, he taught he was the only way to the Father. And so we see the inconsistency of what they believe about the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that God delights to accomplish His purposes in a way that seems foolish to man. The poet wrote, I know not how Christ's cross a world from sin set free. I only know that its matchless love has brought God's love to me. When you look at the cross, you see the love of God that He had for each one of us. Well, in verses 26 to 31, we see God seeks not the wise of the world. God loves to choose people who are of no esteem in the eyes of the world and uses them to glorify His great name. Now, after reading this scripture, we'll see none of us have anything to boast about. For we see in verse 26 that God has neglected the respected. For you see your calling, brethren, how not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. I'm glad it doesn't say any. It just says there are not many. Now, there are some brilliant people, some wonderful teachers who believe, just as we believe, in the fundamentals of God's Word, who believe that God created man by a direct act, believe that He called this world into existence, and it didn't take Him millions and millions of years to do so. Yes, there are some wonderful believers. I think it was Queen Victoria. She commented and she said she was glad that it said not any, just not many. So we see ourselves there, beloved, not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. So God has neglected the respected. But we see in verses 27, 28, God has selected the neglected. Yeah, kind of a play on words there. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are. So why has God so neglected the respected and selected the neglected? Well, in verse 29, to prevent glorying outside of Christ, that no flesh should glory in His presence. I praise the Lord for gifted people that God has chosen to preach and teach His Word. And we see some wonderful preachers and teachers on the radio and on television. However, I think you need a little discernment. No, you need a whole lot of discernment as you view the religious programs today. But there are good programs there where men and women are teaching the truth of God's Word just as it is taught here at Mesa Hills Bible Church. But I don't glory in them. I glory in the Lord who gifted these individuals to be the preachers and the teachers and that they are. So He has so neglected and selected to prevent glorying outside of Christ and then to permit glorying only in Christ. Verse 31. That according as it is written, there in the book of Jeremiah, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Remember who used to say, may the Lord be magnified? How many of you remember Gene Fuquay? That was one of his favorite sayings. And indeed, may the Lord be magnified. So let us glory in Christ. As we read in verse 30. Who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. We think of all that we have in Christ. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. We've been saved. And we glorify Christ for our salvation. We're being sanctified and set apart unto God. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit's work in us. And then one day we'll be called into the very presence of the Lord. I was talking about that last Sunday evening. Our inheritance. One of the greatest things of our inheritance is going to be when we get to glory, we'll see the Lord Jesus Christ. And then will be rewarded for those things that we've done through the Spirit of God, the gold, silver, and precious stones that Paul talks about here in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. And then we will see our loved ones. And I don't know who may be greeting us at the gates of heaven when we get there. As I was preaching Sunday evening, a humorous thought came to me. When I thought, who will be greeting me? And I thought about a kazoo band, you know. Oh, it's going to be greater than that. I know. And so we will really spend eternity glorifying our blessed Lord. So we will not be found unduly praising the messengers or unwisely perverting the message. But we will continue to teach the truth of God's Word. Father, we're thankful for this portion of Scripture that instructs us and warns us. May the Holy Spirit remind us continually of these truths that Paul writes of in 1 Corinthians. And we'll give you the praise, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.